Glad to see you today. Glad you could worship with us and glad to have those worshiping with us online as well. Now, last week we started this two-week series about studying the Bible, and I showed this book to you. This is just a paraphrased Bible. I gave you several different references of different translations you could use and you could read and learn. I like this one for people who really don't have a background in the church or in the Bible or with the Lord. And so it's real simple because it says, how do you read the book right at the beginning? And it tells you how to do that. It tells you, you know, when you're angry, what scripture to read. It tells you all the different emotions you'd have, what scripture to read. I love that. It's all right up front. It tells you a lot of things up there. And then when it gets to the books of the Bible, it will tell you just in a couple of paragraphs, it'll tell you who the author is. It'll tell you the date that it was written. It will tell you the content, and it will tell you the theme. So you can just look right there, see this little heading, and find out about that whole book, the big picture. Look at that. And so I encourage you to try to find one of these. Get one. Use it. You can really use it probably for yourself, but you can also use it to help other people who you might be able to share the faith with. And so I just encourage you to read it. Now, last week, I encouraged you to read the Bible. How often did I encourage you to read it last week? Well, you did better than the first service. Not only did they not do it, they didn't even remember the assignment, okay? So you get extra credit today. So it's time to pay the piper now. I'm going to make every person stand up individually and tell me if you read this all week. No, I won't do that. I might next week, but I'm not going to do that. But I hope you did, because I'm going to challenge you now that you've done it for a week. I'm going to challenge you at the end of this message to do it a little bit longer. I want you to do it for a month. Do you know why? It's just arbitrary. I picked it out. No, that's not why. There's a reason. The reason is that it takes you about a month to start a new habit. So if you do it for a month, you'll get into a new habit, and then you'll do it more often. Amen? Okay. And then we talked about, well, what am I supposed to read each day? And I have these prayer journals, and I've been using this for years, and it just helps me. It tells me what to read every day, and it helps me read through the Bible in a year. And you can also go to our website, and I'll mention that in just a minute in the sermon. But find a way. You can do it online. There's some way to do it. But if you want to, you can do it through these. This is called a life journal. And so I want to encourage you to consider that as well. So let's look at, as we get started, a couple of scriptures that we want to start with today. It says in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And that's talking about Jesus. God sent his Son. He came to earth. He didn't just give us a message. It wasn't just the Word of God, the Bible. He actually sent his Son here so that he could live where we live, do what we do. He had to face everything we face, and he came to save us. And then in 2 Timothy, it says this, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses his word to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So if you see there in that scripture, it's saying there's a reason to read the Bible. God wrote a love letter to us. It's going to instruct us. It's going to teach us. It's going to show us how to follow him, how to live, how to grow closer to him. There's a purpose for us having his word with us. Now, what is the word of God? Well, it's a sword that pierces. It's a light that shines. It's a mirror that reveals. It's a path to purity. It's a meal that spiritually nourishes. It's a seed that reproduces. It's a fire that consumes. It's a defense against temptation. It's the source of all faith. It is the truth for our lives forever. And so there's a lot of value to reading God's word. And I'm excited to tell you because you have access to the Bible. Look at the person beside you. Point your bony finger in their face and say, you have access to the Bible. Tell them that right now. Now, it's important for us to realize that we have access to the Bible. And why is that? Because in a lot of places in the world, if you're caught with a Bible, it's illegal. If they find you with a Bible, you'll be arrested and put in jail. Did you know that people gather together in small groups in places all over the world, and they might have 12 or 15 or 17 people there, and they're reading by candlelight, and they have one page of the Bible. And they're trying to study that Bible together, that one page, and they're trying to memorize as much of that scripture as they possibly can. And they're risking their lives to do it. And yet we've got it, but we just keep it on the shelf. So why is it that people take God's word for granted? Why don't they read it? Well, sometimes they don't believe in God. If you don't believe in God, you're not going to believe his word, are you? Or sometimes they get confused. You remember last week we talked about the different translations? And I read a scripture to you from the King James Version. And I said the King James Version was written in 1611. And in case you don't know, things have changed since then. And it talked about feeling emotion. And it said the saints feel the emotion in their bowels. And when I read that scripture to you, everybody had a quizzical look on their face. They were trying to figure out what exactly is that talking about. Well, back in that day, they believed that that's where you felt things. Now, have you ever heard somebody say this? I just got a gut feeling about that. So you can kind of understand where they were coming from. But today's translation, where do we feel our emotions? In our hearts, don't we? And so you need a translation you can understand. Last week I gave you several, and you can go back and look. The NIV, the New King James Version, there's a bunch of them I mentioned. They can all help you to understand the Bible better. And then we looked at the book of Philemon, and we tried to apply some things to help us understand what the Bible is trying to teach us. Here's a foundational thought. The Bible is meant to transform us, not just inform us. Let me tell you something. I think that what the enemy does a lot of times is he gets us to go to church, and he gets us to go to Bible study, and he gets us to be in a small group, and he gets us to just kind of study and learn and learn and learn and learn, but then we don't ever do anything with it. We don't apply it in our lives. I mean, there are some places, some churches, for example, that are kind of like a cruise ship, and they just go to every activity that's held every week. They're going to be there Sunday morning. They're going to be there Sunday night. They're going to be there Wednesday night. They're going to be there for a small group. They're going to go to everything, and they feed them every time they go. So they're there eating and just having a great time and spending time with their friends. But then if you ask them to serve God, they're like, oh, no, 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 no. That's what we pay you for. Yeah, we got the professionals here. Yeah, we don't do that kind of thing. We just study. We just read. Now, let me tell you something. People who just study the Bible but never put it into practice will become the most critical, judgmental, frustrated people in the church. I'd always thought that, but I had that confirmed. I went out to Rick Warren's church in California, and he actually said that to a group of us ministers who were there spending the week in a conference with him. And he talked about that. And you know, immediately there was a couple in the church back home that I thought of. And immediately my mind went to that, because what they were doing is they were worshiping knowledge. They were just all into knowledge, but they weren't applying it to their lives. And that couple got disgruntled, and they left the church, and they went out looking for the perfect church. And let me tell you what happened to them. They came back. Now, to their credit, they came to me, and they told me, they confessed what they had done. And then they said, what we realized is we had the church that we wanted and needed all along right here. We just weren't looking at it from the right perspective. Because they were thinking about me, 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 me. It's all about me. And what do I get? And, it's like, what have you done for me lately? What time is the meal tonight, Captain? We're on a cruise ship. I mean, it's just like, I paid big bucks to come in here. I give you a dollar every week. What do you want, And now I want you to just entertain me, take care of me. And that couple, to their credit, said this: we have come back to shine your shoes. That's what they were saying. And what that meant was, we're going to have a different perspective. We're going to have a different attitude. We're going to thank God for the privilege that He's given us to be a part of this family. And we're going to participate now. Everybody's got chores. And we're going to do our part. And you know what? They did. They changed. And they became great leaders in the church. And I was so thankful for them that they were willing to own up to that and do that. And so we don't want to just be informed. We want to be transformed. Because here's what happens. If you just get knowledge all the time, what happens to you? Well, you get kind of puffed up. What happens if you eat all the time? Yeah, you ever eat too much? Oh, yeah. Anybody ever? I know this doesn't apply to you, but maybe people have told you about this. You're drinking and eating, and you kind of overdid it, because sometimes it takes your body a minute to get the message your brain is sending out that, hey, we're through. That's plenty. You can stop now. Hello. And so what happens is that then you kind of feel what?
A little bit bloated. That's what you feel.
Yeah, you don't feel good, do you? And so what happens is when you get a lot of knowledge, your head, you ever get overload? You go to a conference and it's all good stuff and you're trying to take notes. It's just too much. And so you're just trying to pick and choose maybe something I can just apply to my life now. And that's what happens sometimes, because we don't want to just be informed. We want to be transformed, right? In fact, Rick Warren said it this way: the Bible should give us a bigger heart, not a bigger head. And he's right. He's exactly right. So when you start getting to think you've learned something, you start thinking you're smart, you know better than these people here, you know it all, maybe you need to realize, hey, you're missing the whole purpose for what God had in mind. James says this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Then what does he say? Do what it says. Apply it. Put it into practice. And so we're going to quickly look at what we said last week. There are five things that we need to do to study the Bible. Do you remember? Number one, we need to choose a translation we understand, okay? Read something that makes sense to you that you can follow. Number two, choose a time and a place and a plan to study the Bible. Because if you don't have a time and a place and a plan, you're not going to do it, are you? And then the third thing was, understand the context. Understand what's going on in this particular scripture. Look at it and see what's happening. And then number four, read slowly and ask questions. Asking questions is a great way to learn. And then five, pray for God to speak to you and then apply what He shows you. In other words, do it. Don't just read it, do it. So once you've done that, then you've got to pick a time. You've got a translation. You can do it in the morning. You can do it at night. I said I do it in the morning. I recommend that. But the main thing is do it. Do it. If you got to do it at lunchtime, do it sometime. And then when you have a place, it may be the kitchen table or a porch or a favorite chair or a swing. But have it. Have a place that you do it. And then have a plan. People say, well, what's the best plan? Well, I don't know what the best plan is. But I can tell you the only plan that's a bad plan is no plan at all. Because if you don't have a plan, you're not going to do anything, are you? So that's not going to work, is it? And so then, five different ways to approach the Bible. Start with a book of the Bible. I need to read a book of the Bible I can understand. So if you want to know about God, here's an idea. Read Genesis and Exodus. That'll tell you about God the Father, just to kind of give you an introduction, okay? And then let's say you want to learn about Jesus. You could go to the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they say that if you're new to the Bible, maybe John might be the best one for you to start with, a foundational gospel. Let's say that you want to learn how to deal with difficult people. Don't be looking at other folks right now. You want to learn how to deal with difficult people. You want to learn how to manage your money better. Maybe you want to learn how to handle your tongue and keep it in your mouth and not use it sometimes when you don't need to. Maybe you need some help to live everyday life that's practical. You can read the book of Proverbs, or you can read James. That's another good book. Or let's say that you need comfort. You want to have a devotional time. You want to cry out to God and be in prayer and worship God. You could read the book of Psalms. That would be a good book. Or let's say you want to grow in your theology. You want to learn about sin. You want to learn about forgiveness and repentance. You want to learn about the gospel. You could read the book of Romans. That would help you. And let me just say to you, in fact, in the book of Romans, it has something called the Roman Road. The Roman Road is a set of scriptures that explains how to become a Christian. If you're not familiar with it, Google it and ask Google, hey, what is the Roman Road? And it'll give you all those scriptures in order so that you can look at them and learn them, but you can lead someone to Christ with them as well, because it's so easy to follow and understand. Or maybe you want to study a person in the Bible. And so maybe you might study Ruth. Or you might study Elijah. Or if you've messed up a lot lately, you might study Peter, because you can relate to Peter. He messed up, right? Or maybe you might decide that you want to study Esther. Now, why would you want to study Esther? Because sometimes it takes a woman to get the job done right. Amen? That's right. And Esther was that kind of girl. Or maybe you want to study a topic of the Bible. Let's say that you grew up in a really rigid, legalistic home with a lot of rules, and you want to learn about grace. Maybe you might study the book of Galatians. That might be a good book to study. Or let's say you want to do a daily devotional. You might have some other little books you want to read. Maybe Jesus Calling or His My Utmost for His Highest. There's a lot of different ones. I read several every day. You can pick one. Or maybe you want to read through the whole Bible. I've already showed you the journal. But we also have woodlawnpcb.info/Bible plans. How many of you knew that? I want to thank both of you for that. Okay, well, you can actually go to that website that we offer, and you can find a way. There's all kinds of ways to do it online. There's a lot of different options for you, but you can find a way. The main thing is to do it. And then now that you've got a translation and a place and a plan, let's go back to Philemon. And we said there are three questions we need to ask when we're studying the Bible. Do you remember? Number one, who wrote it? Number two, to whom was it written? Number three, what was the purpose of it being written? And so we said, who's the author of the book of Philemon? Do you remember? Paul. I want to thank the one person who knew that. Yeah. The Apostle Paul. That's right. That's why you sit right up front, don't you? Okay, now Paul is writing the book, and who is he writing the book to? I just told you, Philemon. Are you with me? Wake up the person next to you and say, we've started now. Okay, now who was Philemon? Well, he was a successful business owner, and he led a small group in his home. He had a home church, right? And you know, Paul actually led Philemon to the Lord. But Philemon was a man who had a slave. Do you remember what his slave's name was? Onesimus. Onesimus, that's right. We said slavery's never right. But back in the day, they had slaves. In fact, they had 60 million in Rome. And they used them to build all of Rome. So it was a common thing. Onesimus, do you remember what Onesimus did? He stole something from Paul, and then he ran away. Where did he go? He got the Google, and he just started driving around the country. Just going to see the country. He went to Rome. Where'd he go?
Rome.
God led him to Rome, of all the places he could go. And by the providence of God, who did he meet there? He met the Apostle Paul. What a small world it is. And what did Paul do? He led him to the Lord. Onesimus became a Christian because there in Rome, Paul led him to the Lord. And then Paul said, I want you to go back. I want you to go to Philemon, and I'm going to write him a letter, and I'm going to ask him to do something. And so he ran to Rome by the providence of God. He saw the Apostle Paul. He was led to the Lord. And now he has become a follower of Jesus. And the purpose of the letter is to ask Philemon to forgive Onesimus. Now, we said back in the day when there were slaves, if a slave ran away, that all the slave owners kind of had an agreement. And the agreement was, we're going to punish the slave because we don't want all the slaves to revolt and run away, because then what are we going to do? It's not going to work. And so, Philemon was in a pickle. He didn't know exactly what to do. And Paul said, I want you to, he's a Christian now. When he comes back, don't treat him as a slave. I want you to treat him as a brother and a friend, and I want you to forgive him. And you're thinking, well, I don't want to forgive him. He stole from me, and then he left, and he's supposed to be here. Because in those days, what could you do? Well, a slave owner could write F. They could brand your forehead with the word F. That meant fugitive. Or they could beat you if you were a slave. Or they could kill you if they chose to. And Paul said, don't do any of that. And then Paul says, forget all that. He says, if he owes you anything, I'll pay it. I'll take care of it. We'll see that in just a minute. And so it's amazing that he says this. Now, here's what Paul says to Philemon when he sends Onesimus back. I am sending Onesimus, who is my very heart, back to you. Do you think he's gotten close to Onesimus now? Yeah. And you can imagine the conversation. I know he stole from you. I know he ran away. But now he's a Christian. I want you to forgive him. He said, I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. In other words, you know, he's useful. He's valuable. Do you remember that last week Paul said he was useless to you, but now he is useful and he's profitable to you and to me. And then we said, do you know what the name Onesimus means? It means useful or profitable. You think God was in this? Yeah, he was. And he named him that because he was going to be useful. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Do you remember last week we said that every time Paul wrote somebody, he would say, from the Apostle Paul, right? He didn't do that this time. He was saying, I'm not going to throw out my credentials. I'm not going to pull rank on you. I'm the Apostle Paul. You're a pastor in a home church. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to ask you to do something as a favor to me. I'm not going to command you to do it. I could, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to force you. I don't want it to seem forced. I want it to you to do it because it's the right thing. And then he says this, perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. If Onesimus has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. It sounds like he's saying, I'll pay the debt I don't owe. You know, in Isaiah, it was prophesied about Jesus that surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. You read that in Isaiah 53. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. The debt that was owed, we couldn't pay. Jesus paid it for us. Philemon, if there's any charge, you send the bill to me. I'll be glad to pay it. Now, what's the Bible about? The Bible is always about God's love for the world and his redemption for us through Jesus Christ. And there are three main characters that we've looked at, right? We've looked at Paul. We've looked at Philemon. We've looked at Onesimus. But I want to ask you to do something today. I want to ask you, when you read this scripture, when you read about these three individual people, today, which one of those three people do you identify with the most? Because here's something interesting. You could read this story for 3 years in a row. And 1 year you might identify with Paul. And the next year you might identify with Philemon. And the next year you might identify with Onesimus. Because Paul is asking a favor. Philemon has got to forgive. And Onesimus, he's got to go back and ask forgiveness. And so it depends on where you are. So think about it for a minute. Where are you right now in this situation? And then 1 John says this, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So if you're like Onesimus and you need to ask forgiveness, he tells us how to do it. And he even tells us what he'll do as a result of that. If you've done something wrong, in a moment of repentance, just say, God, I'm sorry. And God says you're forgiven, not because of who we are, what we did, but because of someone who paid the debt that we could not pay, right? Yeah. And so which one do you relate to, Paul, Onesimus, or Philemon? And so today you say, well, I've got to forgive, but how do I forgive? Onesimus stole. I don't want to forgive. And yet he's coming back to be with me. I could do a lot of things to him, but I'm not going to do that. What do we do? You know, the scripture tells us in Ephesians 4, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, you and I have been forgiven, and so we must forgive. And so you're reading Philemon, and God speaks to you, and maybe you're the person who needs to take a risk. Or maybe you're the person who needs to be forgiven. Or maybe you're the person who needs to forgive. Because the Bible is always new. It's not something just to inform us, but to transform us. Because listen, through his word, God will speak to us. He will love us. He will guide us. He will correct us. He will empower us. He will forgive us. He will transform us. Now, I want to go just a little bit further than we went last week, and I want to introduce someone to you named Ignatius. Ignatius was a martyr, a person who gave his life because of his faith in God. But before he died, he was also a bishop, and he was a bishop to the people of Antioch. And he's listed here. He's one of the early martyrs in the faith. And if you study about him, you find out that he was probably discipled by John. And he was a guy who was a Christian, and he was writing to take care of the people in Antioch, but he does something interesting. He writes to the people of Ephesus. Now, he's supposed to take care of Antioch. So why is he writing to the people of Ephesus? He's writing to the people of Ephesus about their bishop. And he's bragging on their bishop. And he's talking about how great a person their bishop is and what a blessing it is for them to have this guy as a bishop. And he goes on and on about it. And he says, he is a man of inexpressible love. You are blessed by God because you have been granted this man to be your bishop, to lead you, to be with you. And then he talks about him some more. And then he mentions his name. Do you know what his name was? It was Onesimus. Talk about the rest of the story. Wow. Now, we can't prove it, and we're not sure, but scholars say this guy was the right age, and they say it was the right time, and it was 100% the right name. And could it be that God took a runaway slave who was a thief and transformed him and put him in a position of authority and allowed him to lead other people because he now was a brother in Christ? He could lead other people to Christ. Because isn't that what God does? Doesn't God take all of us where we are? But he doesn't leave us where we are, thank God. And he says, I'm not going to leave you there. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And I'm going to transform you so that not only will you be saved, but that I can work through you that others might be saved as well. And so today I would ask you, what does God's word mean in your life? If you read the Bible every day this past week, then you know what it meant to you. It made a difference. It's a great way to start out the day. Then you just get in the habit of doing it. I want to challenge you. It's accessible to you. You're not going to be thrown in jail for reading it. They're not going to kill you. It's not illegal. Why don't you read it every day for a month? A month is long enough for you to get a habit. And if you'll read it every day, then things will happen in your life. God can meet your need. You say, well, what is my need? Well, if you're hurting, God can give you hope. If you're lost, God can direct your life. If you're doubting, God can give you faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. If you're anxious, he says, cast all your anxiety upon me, because he cares for you, and he will give you the peace of heaven that is beyond your ability to understand. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that only God can give. It's not a peace that the world has or can give to us. And then I just want you to fall in love with God's word, because people who don't have a Bible risk their lives to read and study one page, and they can be killed for it. Make his book, his word, a way of life for you. Do it for a month. Establish a habit. And then the word of God can transform you in ways you've never imagined. And later, years later, you can look back and say, I'm different. Not because I'm better, but because the word of God is alive and has changed me. Let me tell you, it's more than just getting information. It's a way for you to be blessed. You can go and find this online. We're going to have it for you. You can go to our website, and you can look at it. And it says it's all about Jesus. And what that is every book of the Bible and how Jesus, it points back to Jesus. And so you can see, hey, every book of the Bible has a connection to Jesus. What a blessing that is. And so I encourage you to get one of these and keep it with you as you do your Bible study and grow. Let's pray together. Father, by the power of your Spirit, we ask you to create a hunger inside of us and a desire to study your word. Forgive us of our sins. Save us. Be first in our lives. Fill us with your spirit so we can know you and serve you and live for you and love you and do your will. Use us, God, to show your love. Thank you for new life. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up so you can see them. And I want to encourage you to come and pray with them after the service so that you might leave any burden you might have in this place, any concern that you have. If you need somebody to pray with that God might give you the strength to study his word every day and just illuminate that to you, then you can pray with these folks. I'm going to ask them to go ahead and make their way to the back door so that they can be back there for you to see them. And I encourage you to stop, spend a little time in prayer. You don't have to carry that burden with you anymore. You can leave it right here. Amen.